It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football with Fox 8's own John Telitz. JT, how are you doing today, good sir?
Good, sir. We are fantastic, Rocco. Hope you're having a good day. Same to all your fantastic listeners.
Well, thank you, JT, for those kind words. And tell you what, I don't know if there were many kind words for Baker Mayfield after Sunday's performance. And now, look, I know the social media conversations happen. Well, you can't be complaining after a win. You know how much losing's happened and blah, 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 and all this. But I think some criticism is fair for Baker Mayfield. What did you see from him, JT? Was there something wrong mechanically? Or, you know, I don't want to overbreak things down here, but what was wrong with him on Sunday?
Well, I think they made him play from the pocket a little bit more than he normally does. I don't think they bought as much some of the bootleg work of the Browns' offense. So because of that, part and parcel, he just had a day where he was not connecting with guys. He was overthrowing. I think everybody knows that. They saw it. That one pass to Kareem in the end zone, wide open, touchdown, all written all over it, and he sailed the ball on Kareem. And he just seemed slightly antsy. And I can go way back to former Browns head coach Butch Davis joking one time, saying, it seemed like my quarterback, I think at the time, he was referring to his quarterback being a bit antsy or having quick feet or, dancy feet type of a situation. In other words, nervous in the pocket, panicking a bit. And we saw a little bit of that. It seemed like, you know, someone came and put the blinders over his eyes to where he didn't see the whole field or wasn't aware of some of his options. Because there's a much noted play where he had Felton by the first down marker and neglected to throw to him. There was another time, obviously, he had Kareem open and didn't go that way. So very odd. And when you consider he opened the year, against Kansas City and played an absolutely incredible game. So that's not the real Baker per se. That was a heightened version of Baker. And then on Sunday you have the worst version of him. Well, he's got to be, extremely more proficient at playing the quarterback position in these other games than he was on Sunday. And again, I'm not speaking out of school. He called himself out on Sunday. He realized, here's another thing to let you know that just things weren't clicking for him. He was 0 for 6 on passes of 20 yards or more, and he's been pretty good at that. Out in the open, he's hit guys. I can see times where he's hit Harrison Bryant. He had him open. He missed him. But in other games, he would make the connection. So that's the situation. He just had a real clunker of a day, and he vows to be better. We'll see if he can get the job done against a very tough Chargers team this week.
Well, fortunately, a clunker of a day, as you called it, JT, doesn't cost the Browns a win. They end up still winning the ballgame over Minnesota, of course. And part of that, a big reason of that, I should say, going to Kareem Hunt. And I keep going back to that play. It was, a 3rd and 20? They're just, they run a draw play. Oh, let's just get to the half, with the lead. But boom, he rips a big open run down the sideline, and he gets McLaughlin in field goal range, who had a heck of a Sunday himself, Chase McLaughlin. But Kareem Hunt, I mean, really just continues to dominate in that backfield for the Browns.
Yeah, he's been that, amazing change-up, if you will, and I know they rotate him fairly consistently, so it's not like you're seeing Nick Chubb for a quarter and a half, and then, boom, all of a sudden, here's this guy with a different running style. I understand how Stefanski, who's called a great game on Sunday, how he is working these guys, and how in the fourth quarter they should be set up to be able to run the football and kind of salt games away. But Kareem just has that wild, Tasmanian devil type of a way about him with the football, and he's very protective of it, but yet he's incredibly inventive with the football. Sometimes he doesn't bother with the invention because he said, there's point B, I'm at point A, you stand between me and point A and B, I'm going to go right through you, which he does on occasion. Very difficult to tackle him. So without Kareem Hunt, he's been one of your offensive MVPs in this season. And if I can, I just think Stefanski really called a great game. It was more a case in many instances where there was the perfect setup for Baker to make the right throw, but Baker didn't make the right throw. But the plays were called, And as he always says, I have to do a good job as the play caller to get guys open. Well, I think by and large, he did do a pretty darn good job of getting guys open. It was just happened to be one of those days where his quarterback just could not make the connection.
Agreed. Now, on the other side of the ball, JT, Joe Woods' defense. I mean, Joe Woods is a guy who's faced some criticism early on this season. Not so much after that performance against the Vikings. That side of the ball, again, just dominant all evening long, or all afternoon long, I should say. Got a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins. What did you see on a positive side from that side of the football?
Well, I think when you strip everything down, you have a defense that's now in its fourth game, so they feel more comfortable with each other. I know John Johnson III alluded to that on Monday when he spoke with the media. I know Malik Jackson said the same type of a thing. I think John Johnson was joking that, you know, the first couple of games it was almost like they were running around with chickens with their heads cut off, but he felt that they were much more in concert. But the base situation with this defense is, with the four-man rush against the veteran quarterback, it wasn't Justin Fields who was running for his life. With a basic four-man rush, you were able to get enough quarterback pressures to make his life miserable after that first series when they had a long, sustained drive. There were 22 quarterback pressures, and 16 of those came with just that basic four-man rush with Clowney and Garrett on the outside and then the two Maliks in the middle. It was very – and so then – you're not only getting a situation there where you also saw a higher percentage of Joe Woods having some guys playing a little bit of man. And so they had the personnel to be able to get that done. We can talk further about the jobs that, you know, some of the defensive backs did, like Ward and what Grant Delpit has meant so far and what JOK is. But first and foremost, it started with that four-man rush. And they did, I think, kind of get the Vikings off of their game. It was just really an impressive defensive performance all around. And as much as the Joe Woods, fire Joe Woods placards were out in Cleveland 2 weeks ago, you're probably not going to see any of those for a while, at least.
No way.
Yeah.
John Telich, our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, you mentioned Grant Delpit there, and I'm glad you did. I go back to a play he made, I believe it was on a third down. Just, you know, it looked like a center fielder diving for a line drive out in center field, just fully outstretched, gets a hand on it, knocks it away. Also, Greedy Williams tallying his first career interception on Sunday. So the defensive backs, I think they really shined. I'll let you go further into their performance.
Yeah, I thought it was really, and again, I think it's part of that, you know, the defense playing at, in concert, as opposed to, okay, the DBs are playing well, but the there's no rush. What's going on with this rush? And I could remember instances back in the Browns years of the 80s in some of their big games when, you know, they had their front line wasn't getting a strong enough rush, but you knew in the backside you had Hanford and Frank, and they were just phenomenal lockdown types of corners, and you had solid linebackers with Clay Matthews or a Mike Johnson or whomever. And now you've got these guys playing in concert. I thought Greedy played a real good game. And Greedy's been a nice contributor to the team when you account for his ability and his inclination to want to play special teams. He still can be very valuable there. So I thought he was impressive. What's really been kind of cool to see, not just on the defensive side, Rocco, is if we just go back only two years of draft picks for this team, and some of these are not high picks, like Delpit's a second rounder, DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, is a late rounder, JOK, second rounder, Newsom, he was the first round pick this year, and then Demetric Felton is a late round pick. All of these guys have made plays in some fashion or another in only either their first year, in the case of a Newsom or a Felton, or their second year, and JOK too, or their second year in the case of a Delpit and a DPJ. So that's good drafting, and that's good coaching, and it also tells you that there's a bigger window than just maybe having a good team this year and then not so sure what the future holds. So real bright things going on here in Berea for the Browns.
No question about that at all. Great coaching, great drafting. That's not something we heard too often here in Cleveland for a number of years, but the tides have certainly changed, and that's a big part of the reason why right there. Kudos to Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, and the whole group there, just doing a heck of a job with this football team right now. All right, JT. Well, the task ahead now, the Los Angeles Chargers. And I'll tell you what, Justin Herbert and them boys are playing some pretty good football out on the West Coast. I know in the rundown that you texted me before we start things here, you talked about them maybe being last year's Browns. And I'll kind of let you elaborate on that, if you will. I think this is a very interesting matchup on Sunday.
Well, they have a very good defense. The Browns, obviously, last year did not have a great defense. We know that. But what my point is this, is they're a team that while they're on people's radars, they're starting off strong. I believe they're 3-1. They're starting off the season strong. And they have a rookie coach the way the Browns had a year ago. The rookie coach, as you all may be aware, is a Northeast Ohio guy, Brandon Staley. I remember covering Brandon when he played for the Perry Pirates. In high school football. He was a real good high school football player. And Brandon, of course, has the history with John Carroll, being an assistant coach at John Carroll. He's one of those real quick, high-rising guys in football that seems to be the right guy for the job. And he's doing a tremendous job with the Chargers. What I saw on Monday night, they fly to the football. Their defense is so well coordinated. You've got the pressure up front with Bosa and company, and then they just continue to do their job on the defensive side of the ball. And a lot of people would like to rethink the order in which these QBs a year ago should have been drafted, vis-a-vis how well Justin Herbert has turned out in his short NFL career. He has been very impressive. Let me throw some real quick numbers at you, if I can. And if you take all the four opponents that the Chargers have faced this year, they have had the lowest total of points scored against them by each one of these teams. So Washington had an average of 28 points per game. They only allowed 16. Dallas, 35 a game in their three games other than against the Chargers. They only allowed 20. Kansas City, 36 in games other than games against the Chargers. And against the Los Angeles Chargers, they gave up 24. And Vegas, the numbers from this past week were 30, and they only allowed those two touchdowns. It's really impressive what Brandon is doing, and I can liken Brandon coming back here. The game's there. I can liken Brandon facing the Browns this year to the situation for Kevin Stefanski a year ago when the Eagles came here. You know, Kevin was a Philly guy. Kevin was coaching against his hometown team. They came here. The Browns picked up a victory against his you know, childhood team, if you will. And so he was all business. And I would assume this would be the same case for Brandon, as he is now going to be coaching against the team that he grew up watching and you know, went to the stadium to see play. So there will be a lot of emotions for him, but he seems very much along the same lines, mentality-wise, as Kevin Stefanski. It's going to be a business day. I'll let those emotions and what have you, you know, go by the wayside. I'm going to coach the best football job I can this day and help my team try to get a victory over the Cleveland Browns. So there are some parallels there, and the Chargers they really looked very good on Monday night. And the one thing I missed on Monday night, by the way, was there was no Manning Brothers cast. They got to work on that. It's got to be every week. Yeah. But it was pretty fun to watch those. It was pretty fun to watch the Chargers. And you know it is going to be a very tough Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles at that beautiful new stadium when they take them on.
The Mannings are a hoot, aren't they? I mean, they are just unbelievably entertaining with their broadcast. You definitely do got to have that every week. But boy, oh boy, what a matchup we have on Sunday, Browns and Chargers. You got emotions, you've got dominant defenses, you've got young budding star quarterbacks. Should be a lot of fun, JT. I'm looking forward to it and breaking it down next week with you. You have a great rest of your week and a great weekend, man. Looking forward to breaking down Browns Chargers next week.
I am too, my friend, and to all your listeners. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And this is going to be some kind of a late afternoon. This will be again. But I think they have Kevin Harlan doing the play-by-play again this week, and so they're in great hands as far as the network broadcast. But Browns and Chargers, the late afternoon window for their network, they're going to get tons of viewers on this game. It's going to be fun to watch.
Should be a ton of fun. Looking forward to breaking it down next week with you, JT. You take care, man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you then.